We'll get to hear a little bit more, some Swan Lake a little bit later on from our group there. You know, that song really captures the heart of what sometimes can be some of the negative emotions, right? You know, feeling sad, feeling lonely, feeling like the world doesn't really understand, or something wrong with the world, or something wrong with us. We all have moments like that. And Tchaikovsky particularly had that feeling. In fact, he grew up in a really small town in Russia. It was a mining town. And his dad was pretty gruff and pretty rough on him. His mom loved to fill the house with music. She loved playing the piano. She loved listening to Italian opera. And it brought an awful lot of joy to Tchaikovsky. However, his nanny, who kind of helped raise Tchaikovsky, said he was very, very fragile. She described him as fragile as a porcelain doll. Very sensitive heart, one little stern word, one little rebuke, and he just disintegrated. Same thing were true with the young boys in his life. Everybody would make fun of him, and he just would crumble underneath it all. Well, they decided to try and help him with this, to send him off to boarding school. And it probably couldn't have been a worse environment for him, because it was corporate punishment, it was high strict, not very celebration of the arts or encouraged his love of the piano. He would sneak off to find a little piano to play here and there. He was made fun of all the time by his friends. He was called Fragile Jones for some reason by the young boys there. But one of the deepest pains of being sent off to boarding school and that sense of loneliness and pain that he would experience that would inform his art and music was that his mother, when he's 14 away at boarding school, she will die at home from cholera. And he will say that it's the only woman he ever loved and that he will never recover from that experience. And so as he tried to wrestle with just the feeling that something was wrong with him or wrong with the world, he would often found music to be that solace. We have several examples of his diaries. We get to read how he experienced his music, what informed his art. Here's one excerpt from one piece of his diary. He says, "Music is indeed the most beautiful of all of heaven's gifts to a humanity wandering in the darkness, trying to figure out what's true and why is this happening and how do I find my place. Alone, it calms, enlightens, and also stills our soul." Isn't that good? "It's not the straw to which the drowning man clings, but it's a true friend. It's a refuge. Music can be a comforter for whose sake life is worth living." That's how much music meant to him. He found it the very expression of his hearts and troubles, but also the sense of purpose he found in connecting with this friend and refuge. As I mentioned many weeks ago when we began the series, one of the most famous and influential artists of all times, musically, was a guy from the Bible, and his name was David. And he also uses this phrase of what it means to find music to be a refuge in some of his writings. One of his songs, written at 1000 BC, gives voice to the same thing we just heard from Tchaikovsky. He says, "I will sing of your power, yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and my refuge in time of trouble." I think we all need some kind of refuge, some kind of place to give voice to how we're feeling, but also a sense of refuge, someplace we can go when things are difficult. David is known in his writing for music that expresses, the same way Tchaikovsky did, difficult times and hard times and how to reach out to a higher purpose and meaning during those difficult times. Let me give you just two pieces from two of David's songs. They kind of tie into the similar themes that we're going to hear with some of Tchaikovsky's music. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Man, I've done some wrong things. "Renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. I need to restore some joy into my life. Uphold me by your generous spirit." That became a song that's been sung since 1000 BC. Other songs speak to the darkness, like Tchaikovsky talked about. "How long, O Lord? How long? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Music does that. And I want to propose today that there's something in all of us that we long for a gift that can transform us, but also break the spell. It seems like there's something wrong with the world. You ever watch the news and just say, man, what's wrong with the world? People know the right thing to do, but they don't do it. It's almost like the whole world's under a spell that needs to be restored. And a lot of the musicals that Tchaikovsky wrote really speak to this idea of there's a spell that's on us, a spell that's on the world, and needs to be broken. We all once were princesses, or if you're a guy, a prince. We've all been turned into swans for Swan Lake, right? And now we need pure love. We need perfect love to come and transform us back, to get us back to where we were again. The Nutcracker, right? We need, in the battles that we face and the difficulties we face, we need perfect love to come and make us alive again, to transform us from a Nutcracker toy into a prince. These are themes that go through many of his musicals. So let's look at three of his compositions today and see if we can discover a little bit about that. The first one is Swan Lake. Swan Lake really ties into this idea that I need music to break the spell, to transform me and just fix this world of what's broken inside of it. There was a guy who loved literature. He loved the arts. His name was C.S. Lewis. He was an agnostic. He loved reading myth and music and the enchantment fairy stories. He ends up befriending J.R.R. Tolkien, who was a Christian, and he said, honestly, fairy tale stories can sometimes speak to the deeper longings of our heart. That's why we love them so much. C.S. Lewis eventually becomes a Christian, and he begins to see how, though Christianity is true historically, it also speaks to those themes that fairy tales grabbed him for. He says this, remember your fairy tales. Spells are used for breaking enchantments, and you and I have need for the strongest spell that can be found to wake us up from the evil enchantment of worldliness that has been laid upon us. Something seems broken in the world. It seems enchanted. We need some higher magic to break it. Now, Tchaikovsky certainly felt like he didn't fit in his whole life. He felt like the world was broken, and in some ways, he felt like he was broken. He found some of the darkest moments in his life. He decided he didn't want the scandal of committing suicide, so he tried to get the next best thing. He walks his way into the river in Russia. And it's the Moskva River, and he gets in, it's freezing cold. It's not frozen yet, but it's freezing cold outside, and the water isn't frozen over yet, but it's ice cold. He gets into his ankles, then up to his knees. He's shivering. He takes his coat off before he got in the river. He then gets up to his waist, and he's hoping that he can get himself pneumonia and die from pneumonia is what he's hoping, just because he can't find a way out of his depression. He can't find a way out of the way he doesn't fit in. He's just hoping to somehow, without a scandal, be delivered from the misery that he's found himself in. And even though his music was able to give him some relief, he longed for some higher meaning, higher purpose, something to fix, to break the spell, to change him from that swan back to that prince that he needed to be. And that begins to inform the music, his writings, and his composition. Now, similarly, David did the same thing. David was not only a warrior who defeated Goliath, he's also a great musician, and often his music was used to take people in depression and people with distressing spirits and help get them out of it. David's dad, or father-in-law, was the king of Israel and a very disturbed man. And he often had what was called a distressing spirit upon him. So let me show you this next passage where it shows that when he had this distressing spirit on him, the king, they would call David, little young David the shepherd boy, to come and play. He would come in with a harp and play it with his hand. Then King Saul, king and future father-in-law, he would become refreshed because of the music. He'd actually become well again, and that distressing spirit he had would depart from him for a time. Music could do that. And Tchaikovsky wanted to create music that would help it do it for you. Same thing he wanted to do with himself. So he'd write these plays that spoke to the enchantments that need to be broken. And then he worked with a lot of incredible artists to design the costumes and design the look and feel of the ballet. Here's actually in 1911, the stage design for Swan Lake. The colors and the textures that they wanted you to feel and experience as you looked at this idea that we were once one way, we're currently turned into something else, and we need music to come and restore us and change us and transform us to the way we're intended to be. So as you hear the music in just a moment, picture this. This is kind of what the original 1911 stage design looked like. It was designed to capture both darkness and light. Enchantment, discouragement of being enchanted, yet also the hope that we could be changed. Now, C.S. Lewis did the same thing. As he became a Christian, he started writing fantasy literature that spoke to deeper themes. One of those is called the Narnia series, and one of the books in that is called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. It tells the story of this young kid, Eunice, who has made his whole life about getting the treasure of the dragon, getting the treasure of the dragon. And he finally, one day, gets the treasure of the dragon, not knowing that he would turn into a dragon. The Christ figure in this fantasy literature by Lewis, Jesus is always played by Aslan, the giant, kind, powerful lion. So we pick up on the story here where this young boy, a prince, has been transformed into a dragon. And here's what happens. I was just going to say that I couldn't undress myself now that I turned into a dragon because I hadn't any clothes on when I suddenly thought that dragons are snaky sort of things and snakes can cast off their skins. So I started scratching myself with my scales, hoping that it would come off all in one place. But as soon as I looked at myself in the water, I knew it had done no good. Then the lion said, but I don't know if he spoke. He said, you will have to let me undress you. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now. So I just laid down on my back and let him do it. The first tear he made was so deep, I thought it had gone right into my heart. When he began pulling off the skin, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off of me. And there I was, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch, and smaller than I had been. Then he caught hold of me. He threw me into the water, and then I saw why. I had turned into a boy again. Simple little story that sometimes even the good things in life transform us into something we didn't want to be. And we need someone who loves us enough to speak truth, but also transform us into what we're meant to be. So I want to invite the orchestra group to come back again, and we're going to listen to Swan Lake and picture all those emotions going on in Tchaikovsky. Him feeling like he didn't fit in, him feeling like the world's under a spell, him feeling like something's broken. And he composes this play about princesses. They get transformed because of a curse and dark magic into swans, and they need true love to come and make them into what they were meant to be. Listen and feel the emotion of that in that story as we listen. You know, the last 20th century has told us if we just got education, it would solve everything. But isn't it true that I usually know the right thing to do, and I still find myself doing the wrong thing? It's more than education we need. We need something bigger than ourselves to transform what often we become, what we've turned into, what our decisions have made, and we need some outside power, something to break the spell and transform us. That's what the music is getting at. It's actually the message of the Bible, that we are created to be God's kings and sons and daughters, and something happened in the world, and we've turned into something else, and we need something to transform us. Let's move to the second composition, and this is the 1812 Overture. It's a sense that I need music to stop the invasion. It's not just that I need to be transformed, it's that I'm under attack. Even when I'm doing great things, there's pressures, there's stresses, there's source of evil, there's other people trying to stop good things I'm trying to do. And I need some sense of power. I need music to help stop the invasion of whatever it is I'm facing. I need to know victory. I need to know hope. I need to know things can be conquered, right? Well, remember, he's in Russia. As Americans, we always think of the Russians as the bad guys, but in this case, it's his hometown. The French are the bad guys. Napoleon is about to invade his homeland. So Napoleon is making his way closer and closer to Russia, and they're scared in Russia. They are praying, God, in their churches, God, help us. Hold back evil. Keep Napoleon from conquering us and destroying our towns and our cities, and they're praying together. And sure enough, Napoleon is defeated. And so they commemorate a church in honor of the fact that God had answered the prayers of those that said, hold back evil, keep war far from us. So this church, the Cathedral of Christ the Savior, they want to commemorate it, and they ask Tchaikovsky to write an original piece to commemorate what happened in their prayers going up and God rescuing them from the invading army of Napoleon. So he writes this unbelievable piece. It's 15 minutes, the 1812 overture, and it recounts Napoleon's invasion of Russia. It's got several different movements, but I'll talk about three. The opening movement is a Russian Orthodox hymn, as people are praying for God's help, stop the invasion, help us know how to face these pressures and difficulties. Then the second movement is where France begins to kind of come their way. It's getting close. It's the French La Marseillaise. I put that in there for me. And now the French are coming in and beginning to push into their territory, but they've been praying. And the third movement, he ties in Russian folk themes. If you think about like in England, they say, God save the Queen. There they were praying, God save the Tsar. God save us from what's happening. Protect us. Protect our way of life. And so he mixes that in. And unlike other pieces of music, he actually puts in cannon fire. Cannons. Like there's actually cannons in the music. So I want you to get a little taste of the 1812 overture. You'll probably recognize it. We've put our video team edit it against paintings of the war between Napoleon and Russia. And picture the prayers. And ask yourself, are there ways in which you need someone to help fight the forces that try to come after us? Let's watch. 15 minutes, and that's the culmination. And it just captures something, right? Like things can be overcome, that no matter how bad it is, that prayers and challenges, that there's a way to overcome even the worst that life throws at us. Well, as I mentioned, David, his music has really spoken to people through years, but he actually is known most for his military might. He's writing songs while he's in the military, while he's being hunted, while he's in very difficult circumstances. He's now won the battle for Goliath. He becomes part of the army, and now he's able to marry the king's daughter. And so King Saul, this rather tyrannical, increasingly jealous man who's his father-in-law, begins to have that distressing spirit begins to control him. And he becomes very jealous because David is not only a great musician but a powerful warrior. David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines. He's like a Navy SEAL fighting these evil Philistines that have been pillaging their country for years. The women came out singing and dancing when David returned as a war hero. So the women came and danced and said, Saul, that's the king, his father-in-law, has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Ooh, Saul was very angry when he heard this. This saying displeased him. He said, they've ascribed to David 10,000s, only me, my thousands. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. He's taking credit from me. He's taking glory from me. He's more popular than me. Well, they keep bringing David in when he gets this distressing spirit to play the harp. So this distressing spirit comes upon Saul again, partly because of his own jealousy. He starts ostracizing himself from his kids. They have to triangulate, it's either me or David. And David's playing music, trying to help him. And as he's playing it, it's not working. He's getting angrier and angrier. And pretty soon, he grabs his spear by his side, and the king tries to pin David to the wall. Boom! David jumps out of the way. He'll now spend the next couple years of his life hiding, being hunted by his father-in-law, hunted by the king of the army. Well, he'll become an incredible warrior, this time trying to escape while under attack all the time. Family pressure, military pressure. How am I going to live the next day when I'm being hunted by the most powerful people in the world? It's during this time he writes other songs about how he trusted God when he was under attack. This is from a cave he's hiding in when Saul's chasing him. This song says, for my soul trusts in you, God. I'm in the shadow or protection of your wings. I will make you, there it is again, my refuge. Until these calamities have passed by, I cry out to God most high, to God who performs all things for me. My soul feels like it's among lions. I'm being hunted. I lie among those who are set on fire. Be exalted, O Lord, above the heavens. I'm trusting you when I'm under attack. I think we all need someplace to trust when we're under attack. Thirdly, is a nutcracker. Third composition is, again, I need music to find perfect love. That little nutcracker toy needs perfect love. When he's under the battle from the mice army, he needs perfect love, sacrificial love to transform him, that he can be a prince again, that he can be alive again. And here in the nutcracker, we see both of these ideas. Something to break the spell and something to stop the invading army comes through perfect love. As Tchaikovsky was composing this piece, which is known obviously in ballet so well, they again wanted to capture it, not just with the music, but with the styles of clothing. So they had a designer, this was back in 1892, who wanted to kind of create a feel and look for the Nutcracker that would capture your imagination. This modern fairy tale about how we all long for and need perfect love. The perfect love that can turn a toy into a real prince. All right, that's what we're longing for. The Bible says something similar. It says that when God comes into your life, it brings perfect love. Not just love your wife better kind of love or love your friend better kind of love. It can bring a love your enemies kind of love. Well, that's a whole nother level, right? In fact, even when Jesus comes from heaven to earth, he allows his enemies to pound stakes into his hands and feet, and he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Well, that's a whole new level of love. That's either crazy love or a supernatural love. Well, we actually see that Jesus' nickname is the Son of David. David actually has a little bit of that too. Despite being hunted his whole life by King Saul, when King Saul is eventually killed, David writes a song about the love he has for his father-in-law, despite his distressed spirit, despite hunting him down. It's called the Song of the Bow. Imagine writing a song about your enemy. Here's what he says. "The beauty of Israel slain on your high places," meaning these two people were beautiful in their life and they were slain on this high mountain. "Oh, the mighty have fallen. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives." Really? Are you talking about the same one I'm talking about? "And in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions." Jonathan was Saul's son and became good friends with David despite the cost it cost him with his dad. "I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You've been very pleasant to me. We are great friends. Your loss is my loss. Oh, how the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war have perished." This is a warrior singing a song about other warriors, despite how he'd been treated by them. This is like unbelievable forgiveness of your enemies kind of thing. I listened to a podcast a few weeks ago, and do you remember way back in the 80s, there was a TV show called Chips? Do you remember Chips? Yeah, for those of you who don't, it was the Seinfeld of its day. It was the Friends of its day. It was must-see TV was Chips. That's Ponch, Theron Blunt, and John. Eric Estrada was a very, very famous actor. And John I saw interviewed recently, and he's a Christian. And he talked about his experience on Chips, that Eric Estrada was just always parading himself around, sleeping with anyone who would sleep with him in his little RV or whatever it was, different women every day, stealing every scene, hard to work with, just a pain in the butt. Yet Ponce said occasionally he would go to Brazil, and because Chips was so popular, one time 40,000 people showed up to see him, Ponce. He's like, "I can't believe it, I felt like Elvis for a day." He got the popularity. One time, because Ponch was actually an army vet, if I remember, it was a military vet, and he specifically was a medical person in the army, one day on set, Eric Estrada, John, has an accident with their motorcycle, it's a motorcycle show, and has a life-threatening injury. Ponch comes over and literally saves, had he not been there, saved Eric Estrada, John's life. 2 weeks later, a month later, he gets a call from his agent. He said, "I want you to know that we're about to go into the next season, and Eric Estrada is making the deals. He was kind of the most famous one in the show, and he's telling the producers he'll only come back if they fire you." I saved his life. That's his deal. And they all know they make money in syndication on the next season. He kind of has all the cards. And so he gets fired. He talks to his agent before the news went out. His agent and he decide they're going to strategize by getting the news out first. "I've decided to leave the show," before they got rid of him. And he ends up setting up a business, ends up kind of creating his own plays. He saw himself as much of a businessman as an actor. But he said he's just seething with anger, seething with how dare he, how ungrateful is he, how inappropriate is this. I literally saved his life. He says, I found myself drinking all the time, drinking away my anger and adrenaline of what he had done to me. He said, and then I got into a Bible study. I became a follower of Jesus, and I began to see this kind of love your enemy thing, and that just sounded ridiculous and crazy. But I decided I was tired of drinking away my pain. I was going to try the love your enemy thing. And I had an opening in one of the new plays I was doing, or shows I was doing, and I decided I'm going to call up Eric Estrada and ask him to be with me on stage, or on the show, whichever it was. I thought, this sounds ridiculous, but he did it. And I decided, if I thought God was telling me, I'm going to befriend this guy no matter what. And he said, you know what? He was stole every show, upstaged me every time. I just kept saying, just kept deferring. And you know what? I began to be less bitter. I began to be transformed. And honestly, we became to be better friends. I learned how to love him with an unconditional kind of love. He said a more perfected kind of love. In fact, in 1999, they did a reunion. And after all that pain and all that heartache that Eric Estrada had caused, John, his real name here is Larry Wilcox, they became friends and came back to reunite for the 1999 Chips reunion show. But what he said is, what happened as I learned how to love my enemy is I got transformed. I turned into something different. I had, because of the wrong circumstances around me, I had been turned into that swan. I had been turned into that nutcracker. And I needed to experience a perfect, a new type of love to transform me. It's a lot to bite off, isn't it? If you've never tried it, I can tell you where bitterness goes. The road always goes to the same place. What if what I've been saying is true? What if we all long for a gift? Jesus says he's the gift from God to teach us how to transform ourselves by what he's going to do for us, but also how to break the spell of what's broken in the world. So I invite the band to do this last song. I think what we're all longing for is what I'll call a bittersweet symphony. Can someone take the bitter notes, the difficult moments, the sour notes, the minor chords in my life? Could God bring a melody to this? I need somebody who can bring a symphony, some meaning and purpose to the challenges and the difficulties and the hardships. When I'm at battle, can I bring some meaning to that? That it's something I love, but it's not who I become. Can I climb up on top of that dragon treasure without becoming a dragon? Can I, when I know the right thing to do but don't do it, can I find something else that can teach me a way to live life that brings meaning and purpose and love into me? So you hear this next song. Maybe you might even want to try a prayer. God, I need you to be my bittersweet symphony. Well, maybe you want to shoot up a prayer and just say, God, man, I need to change some things in my life, and I've tried harder. I need some outside music, outside source, outside help to that. Let's pray, and then we'll thank our string section one more time before they take us out with that song. All right, let's pray together. I just want to say that. Say, God, I need some transformation. And I don't need more chances. I need outside help. Thanks for coming into this world to break the spell, and ask that you would transform me. Thanks for dying for what I did wrong, but I need your leadership to know what's right. Lead me. Compose for me. Conduct my life. In Jesus' name, amen.